It's not a crime to be curious. Discover the world of true crime podcasts with End of Days. Download the free BBC Sounds app to listen.
Welcome to Radio 3 then. It's 7:30 and I'm Chris Berrow. Now, another chance for you to hear Drama on 3's amazing production of an enduring classic. Here to introduce the play, it's the director, Martin Jarvis.
Tonight's Drama on 3, Lady Windermere's Fan, is Oscar Wilde's masterpiece of secrets, lies and conspiracy. Wilde's first fully produced play in London. Its stunning success in 1892 established his huge popularity as a modern playwright. Possibly not everybody perceived at first that Wilde was actually turning the tradition of Victorian drawing-room comedy upside down. He saw the work as a psychological study, an indictment of hypocrisy disguised as a humorous, well-made play, masks and faces. Today's audience might recognise the rich Australian, Mr. Hopper, who observes this societal group from the outside looking in. Is Cecil Graham, Irish onlooker, pretty well an Oscar self-portrait, affecting a cynical view of Britpack behaviour? And who actually is the mysterious interloper, Mrs. Erlin, recently back in London from somewhere, Italy, France, New York even? What does she really want? It's a thriller, of course. Lady Windermere's Fan is unmistakably Wilde's world in its view of Victorian society. But could it be ours also? Wilde seems still to have much to say now about reputation, scandal, identity, even love. Here's his play. Lady Windermere's Fan, a play about a good woman, by Oscar Wilde. Starring Mira Sorvino, Jonathan Cake, James Callis, Rosalind Ayres, Ian Ogilvy, and Susanna Fielding.
Is your ladyship at home this afternoon?
Yes. Who's called?
Lord Darlington, my lady.
Oh. Show him up. And I'm at home to anyone who calls.
Yes, my lady.
It's best for me to see him before tonight. I'm glad he's come.
Lord Darlington.
How do you do, Lady Windermere?
How do you do, Lord Darlington? No, I can't shake hands with you. My hands are all wet with these roses. Aren't they lovely?
Mm.
They came up from Selby this morning.
They're quite perfect. And what a wonderful fan. May I look at it?
Do. Pretty, isn't it? It's got my name on it and everything. I've only just seen it myself. It arrived this afternoon. It's my husband's birthday present to me. You know today is my birthday.
No. Is it really?
Yes. I'm of age today. Quite an important day in my life, isn't it? That is why I'm giving this party tonight. Do sit down.
I wish I had known it was your birthday, Lady Windermere. I would have covered the whole street in front of your house with flowers for you to walk on. They're made for you.
Lord Darlington, you annoyed me last night at the Foreign Office. I'm afraid you are going to annoy me again.
I, Lady Windermere?
My lady?
Put it there, Parker. That'll do. Thank you.
My lady?
Won't you come and sit down, Lord Darlington?
Thanks. I'm quite miserable, Lady Windermere. You must tell me what I did.
Well, you kept paying me elaborate compliments the whole evening.
Oh. Nowadays, we are all of us so hard up that the only pleasant things to pay are compliments. They're the only things we can pay.
No, I am talking very seriously. You mustn't laugh. I am quite serious. I don't like compliments, and I don't see why a man should think he is pleasing a woman enormously when he says to her a whole heap of things he doesn't mean. Tea?
Ah, but I did mean them. Thank you.
I hope not. I should be sorry to have to quarrel with you, Lord Darlington. I like you very much, you know that. But I shouldn't like you at all if I thought you were what most other men are. Believe me, you're better than most other men, and I sometimes think you pretend to be worse.
We all have our little vanities, Lady Windermere.
Why do you make that your special one?
Oh, nowadays, so many conceited people go about society pretending to be good that I think it shows rather a sweet and modest disposition to pretend to be bad. Besides, there is this to be said. If you pretend to be good, the world takes you very seriously. If you pretend to be bad, it doesn't. Such is the astounding stupidity of optimism.
Well, don't you want the world to take you seriously then, Lord Darlington?
No, not the world. Who are the people the world takes seriously? All the dull people one can think of, from the bishops down to the boors. I should like you to take me very seriously, Lady Windermere. You, more than anyone else in life.
Why? Why me?
Because I think we might be great friends. Let us be great friends. You may want a friend someday.
Why do you say that?
Oh, we all want friends at times.
I think we're very good friends already, Lord Darlington. We can always remain so as long as you don't...
Don't what?
Don't spoil it by saying extravagant, silly things to me. Oh. You think I'm a Puritan, I suppose. Well, I have something of the Puritan in me. I was brought up like that. I'm glad of it. My mother died when I was a mere child. I lived always with my father's elder sister. You know, she was stern to me, but she taught me what the world is forgetting. The difference that there is between what is right and what is wrong. She allowed of no compromise. I allow of none.
My dear Lady Windermere.
You look on me as being behind the age. Well, I am. I should be sorry to be on the same level as an age like this.
You think the age very bad?
Yes. Nowadays, people seem to look on life as a speculation. It is not a speculation. It is a sacrament. Its ideal is love. Its purification is sacrifice.
Oh, anything is better than being sacrificed.
Don't say that.
I do say it. I feel it. I know it.
The men want to know if they'd have put the carpets on the terrace for tonight, m'lady.
Well, you don't think it would rain, Lord Darlington, do you?
I won't care if it's raining on your birthday.
Tell them to do it at once, Parker.
Certainly, m'lady.
Do you think, then, of course I'm only putting an imaginary instance, do you think that in the case of a young married couple, say, about 2 years married, if the husband suddenly becomes the intimate friend of a woman of, well, more than doubtful character, is always calling upon her, lunching with her, probably paying her bills, do you think that the wife should not console herself?
Console herself?
Yes. I think she should. I think she has the right.
Because the husband is vile, should the wife be vile also?
Vileness is a terrible word, Lady Windermere.
It is a terrible thing, Lord Darlington.
Do you know, I'm afraid that good people do a great deal of harm in this world. Certainly the greatest harm they do is that they make badness of such extraordinary importance. It's absurd to divide people into good and bad. People are either charming or tedious. I take the side of the charming, and you, Lady Windermere, can't help belonging to them.
Now, Lord Darlington.
No,
don't stir. I'm merely going to finish my flowers.
And I must say, I think you're very hard on modern life, Lady Windermere. Of course, there's much against it, I admit. Most women, for instance, nowadays are rather mercenary.
Don't talk about such people.
Well then, setting aside mercenary people, who of course are dreadful, do you think seriously that women who've committed what the world calls a fault should never be forgiven?
I think they should never be forgiven.
And men? Do you think that there should be the same laws for men as there are for women?
Certainly.
I think life too complex a thing to be settled by these hard and fast rules.
If we had these hard and fast rules, we should find life much more simple.
You allow of no exceptions?
None.
Oh, what a fascinating Puritan you are, Lady Windermere.
The adjective was unnecessary, Lord Darlington.
I couldn't help it. I can resist everything except temptation.
You have the modern affectation of weakness.
It's only an affectation, Lady Windermere.
The Duchess of Berwick and Lady Agatha Carlyle.
Dear Margaret, I'm so pleased to see you. You remember Agatha, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Agatha?
Yes, Mama. How do you do,
Lord Darlington? I won't let you know my daughter. You're far too wicked.
Oh, don't say that, Duchess. As a wicked man, I'm a complete failure. Why, there are lots of people who say I've never really done anything wrong in the whole course of my life. Of course, they only say it behind my back.
Isn't he dreadful? Agatha, this is Lord Darlington. Sure. Mind you, don't believe a word he says.
No, Mama. I know.
No tea. Thank you, dear. We've just had tea at Lady Markby's. Yes, I will sit. Oh, such bad tea, too. It was quite undrinkable. I wasn't at all surprised. Her own son-in-law supplies it. Agatha is looking forward so much to your ball tonight, dear Margaret.
Oh, well, you mustn't think it is going to be a ball, Duchess. It is only a dance in honour of my birthday. A small and early.
Very small, very early, and very select, Duchess.
Of course it's going to be select. But we know that, dear Margaret, about your house. It's really one of the few houses in London where I can take Agatha and where I feel perfectly secure about dear Beric. I don't know what society is coming to. The most dreadful people seem to go everywhere. They certainly come to my parties. The men get quite furious if one doesn't ask them. Really, someone should make a stand against it.
I will, Duchess. I will have no one in my house about whom there is any scandal.
Oh, don't say that, Lady Windermere. I should never be admitted.
Oh, men don't matter. With women it's different. We're good. Some of us are, at least. But we are positively getting elbowed into the corner. Our husbands would really forget our existence if we didn't nag at them from time to time, just to remind them that we have a perfect legal right to do so.
It's a curious thing, Duchess, about the game of marriage. A game, by the way, that is going out of fashion. The wives hold all the honours and invariably lose the odd trick.
The odd trick? Is that the husband, Lord Darlington?
It would be rather a good name for the modern husband.
Dear Lord Darlington, how thoroughly depraved you are.
Lord Darlington is trivial.
Oh, don't say that, Lady Windermere.
Why do you talk so trivially about life, then?
Because I think that life is far too important a thing ever to talk seriously about it.
What does he mean? Do, as a concession to my poor wits, Lord Darlington, just explain to me what you really mean.
I think I'd better not, Duchess. Nowadays, to be intelligible is to be found out. Goodbye. And now, Lady Windermere, goodbye. I may come tonight, mayn't I? Do let me come.
Yes, certainly. But you are not to say foolish, insincere things to people.
Ah, you are beginning to reform me. It is a dangerous thing to reform anyone, Lady Windermere. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. What a charming, wicked creature. I like him so much. I'm quite delighted he's gone. How sweet you are looking. Where do you get your gowns? Now I must tell you how sorry I am for you, dear Margaret. Agatha, darling.
Yes, Mama.
Will you go and look over the photograph album that I see there?
Yes, Mama.
Dear girl. She's so fond of photographs of Switzerland. Such a pure taste, I think. But I really am so sorry for you, Margaret.
Why, Duchess?
Oh, on account of that horrid woman. She dresses so well, too, which makes it much worse. Sets such a dreadful example. Augustus, you know my disreputable brother, such a trial to us all. Well, Augustus is completely infatuated about her. It is quite scandalous, for she's absolutely inadmissible into society. Many a woman has a past, but I am told that she has at least a dozen, and that they all fit.
Whom are you talking about, Duchess?
About Mrs. Erlynne.
Mrs. Erlynne? I never heard of her, Duchess, and what has she to do with me?
My poor child. Agatha, darling?
Yes, Mama?
Will you go out on the terrace and look at the sunset?
Yes, Mama.
Sweet girl. So devoted to sunsets. Shows such refinement of feeling, does it not? After all, there is nothing like nature, is there?
But what is it, Duchess? Why do you talk to me about this person?
Don't you really know? I assure you we're all so distressed about it. Only last night at dear Lady Jansen's, everyone was saying how extraordinary it was that of all men in London, Windermere should behave in such a way.
My husband? What has he got to do with any woman of that kind?
Ah, what indeed, dear. That is the point. He goes to see her continually and stops for hours at a time. And while he's there, she is not at home to anyone. Not that many ladies call on her, dear, but she has a great many disreputable men friends. My own brother, particularly, as I told you. And that is what makes it so dreadful about Windermere. We looked upon him as being such a model husband, but I'm afraid there's no doubt about it. My dear nieces, you know the Savile girls, don't you? Such nice domestic creatures. Plain, dreadfully plain, but so good. Well, they're always at the window doing fancy work and making ugly things for the poor, which I think is so useful of them in these dreadful socialistic days. And this terrible woman from goodness knows where has taken a house in Curzon Street right opposite them. Such a respectable street, too. I don't know what we're coming to. And they tell me that Windermere goes there 4 and 5 times a week. They see him. They can't help it. And although they never talk scandal, they... Well, of course, they remark on it to everyone. And the worst of it all is that I've been told that this woman has got a great deal of money out of somebody, for it seems that she came to England 6 months ago without anything at all to speak of, and now she has this charming house in Mayfair, drives her ponies in the park every afternoon, and all, well, all, since she has known poor dear Windermere.
I can't believe it.
But it's quite true, my dear. The whole of London knows it. That is why I felt it was better to come and talk to you and advise you to take Windermere away at once to Homburg or to Aix, where he'll have something to amuse him and where you can watch him all day long. I assure you, my dear, that on several occasions after I was first married, I had to pretend to be very ill and was obliged to drink the most unpleasant mineral waters merely to get Berwick out of town. He was so extremely susceptible. Though I'm bound to say he never gave away any large sums of money to anybody. He's far too high-principled for that.
Duchess, Duchess, it is impossible. We are only married 2 years. Our child is but 6 months old.
Oh, the dear pretty baby. How is the little darling? Is it a boy or a girl? I hope a girl. Oh, no, I remember it's a boy. I'm so sorry. Boys are so wicked. My boy is excessively immoral. You wouldn't believe at what hours he comes home, and he's only left Oxford a few months. I really don't know what they teach them there.
Are all men bad?
Oh, all of them, my dear. All of them, without any exception. And they never grow any better. Men become old, but they never become good.
Arthur and I married for love.
Yes, we begin like that. It was only Berwick's brutal and incessant threats of suicide that made me accept him at all. And before the year was out, he was running after all kinds of petticoats, every colour, every shape, every material. In fact, before the honeymoon was over, I caught him winking at my maid, a most pretty, respectable girl. I dismissed her at once without a character reference. No, I remember I passed her on to my sister. Poor dear Sir George is so short-sighted, I thought it wouldn't matter. But it did, though. It was most unfortunate. And now, my dear child, I must go as we are dining out. And mind you don't take this little aberration of Windermere's too much to heart. Just take him abroad and he'll come back to you all right.
Come back to me?
Yes, dear. These wicked women get our husbands away from us, but they always come back. Slightly damaged, of course. And don't make scenes. Men hate them.
It is very kind of you, Duchess, to come and tell me all this, but I can't believe that my husband is untrue to me.
Pretty child. I was like that once. Now I know that all men are monsters. The only thing to do is to feed the wretches well. A good cook does wonders, and that I know you have. My dear Margaret, you're not going to cry.
You needn't be afraid, Duchess. I never cry.
That's quite right, dear. Crying is the refuge of plain women, but the ruin of pretty ones. Agatha, darling. Agatha?
Yes, Mama?
Come and bid goodbye to Lady Windermere and thank her for your charming visit.
Oh, yes, Mama.
By the way, Margaret, I must thank you for sending an invitation to Mr. Hopper. He's that rich young Australian people are taking such notice of just at present. His father made a great fortune by selling some kind of food in circular tins. Most palatable, I believe. I fancy it is the thing the servants always refuse to eat. But the son is quite interesting. I think he's attracted by dear Agatha's clever talk. Of course, we should be very sorry to lose her, but I think that a mother who doesn't part with a daughter every season has no real affection. We're coming tonight, dear. And remember my advice. Take the poor fellow out of town at once. It's the only thing to do. Goodbye once more. Come, Agatha.
Yes, Mama. Goodbye.
How horrible. I understand now what Lord Darlington meant by the imaginary instance of the couple not 2 years married. But, oh, it can't be true. She spoke of enormous sums of money paid to this woman. I know where Arthur keeps his bank book. In one of the drawers of that desk. I might find out by that. I will find out. No. Some hideous mistake. Some silly scandal. He loves me. He loves me. Why should I not look? I am his wife. I have a right to look. Oh, I knew it. There's not a word of truth in this stupid story. Oh. What's this? A second book. Private. Locked. All right. Cut it open. Mrs. Erlin, £600. Mrs. Erlin, £700. Mrs. Erlin, £400. Oh, my God. It's true. It's true. How horrible. Horrible.
Well, dear, has the fan arrived yet?
Arthur?
What are you doing? Margaret, have you cut open my bank book? You have no right to do such a thing.
You think it wrong that you are found out, don't you?
I think it wrong that a wife should spy on her husband.
I did not spy on you. I never knew of this woman's existence till half an hour ago. Someone who pitied me was kind enough to tell me what everyone in London knows already. Your daily visits to Curzon Street. Your mad infatuation. The monstrous sums of money you squander on this infamous woman.
Margaret, don't talk like that of Mrs. Erlin. You don't know how unjust it is. Give me the book.
You are very jealous of Mrs. Erlin's honour. I wish you had been as jealous of mine.
Your honour is untouched, Margaret. You don't think for a moment that...
I think that you spend your money strangely. That is all. Oh, don't imagine I mind about the money. As far as I'm concerned, you may squander everything we have. But what I do mind is that you, who have loved me, you, who have taught me to love you, should pass from the love that is given to the love that is bought. Oh, it's horrible. And it is I who feel degraded. You don't feel anything. I feel stained, utterly stained. You can't realise how hideous the last 6 months seems to me now. Every kiss you have given me is tainted in my memory.
Don't say that, Margaret. I never loved anyone in the whole world but you.
Who is this woman, then? Why do you take a house for her?
I did not take a house for her.
Well, you gave her the money to do it, which is the same thing.
Margaret, as far as I have known Mrs. Erlin...
Is there a Mr. Erlin, or is he a myth?
Her husband died many years ago. She is alone in the world.
No relations?
None.
Rather curious, isn't it?
Margaret, I was saying to you, and I beg you to listen to me, that as far as I have known Mrs. Erlin, she has conducted herself well. If... Years ago...
Oh, I don't want to know details about her life!
I am not going to give you any details about her life. I tell you simply this. Mrs. Erlin was once honoured, loved, respected. She was well born, she had position. She lost everything. Throw it away, if you like. That makes it all the more bitter. Misfortunes one can endure. They come from outside. They're accidents. But to suffer for one's own faults, there is the sting of life. It was 20 years ago, too. She was little more than a girl then. She'd been a wife for even less time than you have.
I am not interested in her. And you should not mention this woman and me in the same breath. It is an error of taste.
You could save this woman. She wants to get back into society, and she wants you to help her.
Me?
Yes, you.
How impertinent of her.
Margaret, I came to ask you a great favour, and I still ask it of you. Though you have discovered what I intended, you should never have known. That I have given Mrs. Erlin a large sum of money. I want you to send her an invitation for our party tonight.
What? You're mad.
I entreat you. People may chatter about her, do chatter about her, of course, but they don't know anything definite against her. She has been to several houses. Not to houses where you would go, I admit, but still to houses where women who are in what is called society nowadays do go. That does not content her. She wants you to receive her once.
As a triumph for her, I suppose.
No, but because she knows that you are a good woman, and that if she comes here once, she will have a chance of a happier, a surer life than she has had. She will make no further effort to know you. Won't you help a woman who is trying to get back?
No. If a woman really repents, she never wishes to return to the society that has made or seen her ruin.
I beg of you.
I'm going to dress for dinner and don't mention the subject again this evening. Arthur, you fancy, because I have no father or mother, that I'm alone in the world and that you can treat me as you choose. You are wrong. I have friends. Many friends.
Margaret, you are talking foolishly. Recklessly. I won't argue with you, but I insist upon your asking Mrs. Erlynne tonight.
I shall do nothing of the kind.
You refuse?
Absolutely.
Oh, Margaret, do this for my sake. It is her last chance.
What has that to do with me?
How hard could women are?
How weak bad men are.
Margaret, none of us men may be good enough for the women we marry. That is quite true. But you don't imagine that I would ever... Oh, the suggestion is monstrous.
Why should you be different from other men? I am told there is hardly a husband in London who does not waste his life over some shameful passion.
I am not one of them.
I'm not sure of that.
You are sure in your heart. But don't make chasm after chasm between us. God knows the last few minutes have thrust us wide enough apart. Sit down and write the card.
Nothing in the whole world would induce me.
Then I will. Parker!
You are going to invite this woman?
Yes. Parker?
Yes, my lord?
Have this note sent to Mrs. Erlynne at number 84A Curzon Street.
Certainly, my lord. Shall I...
There is no answer.
Lord?
Arthur, if that woman comes here, I shall insult her.
Margaret, don't say that.
I mean it.
Child, if you did such a thing, there's not a woman in London who wouldn't pity you.
There is not a good woman in London who would not applaud me. We have been too lax. We must make an example. I propose to begin tonight. Yes, you gave me this fan today. It was your birthday present. If that woman crosses my threshold, I shall strike her across the face with it.
You couldn't do such a thing.
You don't know me. Parker?
Yes, m'lady?
I shall dine in my own room. I don't want dinner tonight, in fact. See that everything is ready by 10:30.
Very good, m'lady.
And Parker, be sure you pronounce the names of the guests very distinctly tonight. Sometimes you speak so fast I miss them. I am particularly anxious to hear the names quite clearly so as to make no mistake. Do you understand, Parker?
I understand, m'lady. Yes, of course, m'lady. I understand.
That'll do.
Thank you, m'lady.
Arthur, if that woman comes here, I warn you.
Margaret, you'll ruin us.
Us! From this moment, my life is separate from yours. But if you wish to avoid a public scandal, write at once to this woman and tell her that I forbid her to come here.
I will not. I cannot. She must come.
Then I shall do exactly as I have said. You leave me no choice.
Margaret! Margaret. My God, what shall I do? I dare not tell her who this woman really is. The shame would kill her.
So strange Lord Windermere isn't here. Mr. Hopper is very late, too. You have kept those 5 dances for him, Agatha?
Yes, Mama.
Just let me see your card. I'm so glad Lady Windermere has revived cards. They're a mother's only safeguard. Oh, you dear simple little thing. I'm scratching out these 2 names. No nice girl should ever waltz with such particularly younger sons. It looks so fast. The last 2 dances, you might pass on the terrace with Mr. Hopper.
Yes, Mama.
The air is so pleasant there.
Mrs. Cooper Cooper. Lady Stutfield. Mr. Dummy.
Good evening, Lady Stutfield. I suppose this will be the last ball of the season.
I suppose so, Mr. Dummy. It's been a delightful season, hasn't it?
Quite delightful. Oh, good evening, Duchess. I suppose this will be the last ball of the season.
I suppose so, Mr. Dummy. It has been a very dull season, hasn't it?
Dreadfully dull. Dreadfully dull.
Ah, good evening, Mr. Dummy. I suppose this will be the last ball of the season.
No, I think not, Lady Plimdale. There'll probably be two more.
Oh, how delightful.
Lord Darlington.
Delightful.
Lady Jedburgh. Mr. Hopper.
How do you do there, Lady Windermere?
How do you do, Duchess? Hello there, Lady Agatha.
Dear Mr. Hopper, how nice of you to come so early. We all know how you are run after in London.
Capital place, London. They're not nearly so exclusive in London as they are in Sydney.
Ah, we know your value, Mr. Hopper. We wish there were more like you. It would make life so much easier. Do you know, Mr. Hopper, dear Agatha and I are so much interested in Australia. It must be so pretty with all the dear little kangaroos flying about. Agatha has found it on the map. What a curious shape it is, just like a large packing case. However, it is a very young country, isn't it?
Wasn't it made at the same time as the others, Duchess?
How clever you are, Mr. Hopper. You have a cleverness quite of your own. Now, I mustn't keep you.
But I should like to dance with Lady Agatha, Duchess.
Well, I hope she has a dance left. Have you a dance left, Agatha?
Yes, Mama.
The next one?
Yes, Mama.
Right. May I have the pleasure, Lady Agatha?
Yes.
Mind you take great care of my little chatterbox, Mr. Hopper.
Of course I will. Allow me, Miss Agatha.
Margaret, I want to speak to you.
In a moment.
Lord Augustus Norton.
Good evening, Lady Windermere.
Oh, dear, there's my brother. Mr. Dummy, will you take me into the ballroom? Augustus has been dining with us tonight.
It will be my pleasure, Duchess, really. Pray take my arm.
Oh, I really have had quite enough of dear Augustus for the moment. Thank you.
Windermere, want to speak to you particularly, dear boy. Oh, I'm worn to a shadow. No, I don't look it. None of us men do look what we really are. Damn good thing, too, eh? What I want to know is this. Who is she? Where does she come from? Why hasn't she got any damned relations? Damn nuisance relations, but they make one so damned respectable.
You are talking of Mrs. Erlynne, I suppose. I only met her 6 months ago. Till then, I never knew of her existence.
You've seen a good deal of her since then.
Yes, I have seen a good deal of her since then. I have just seen her.
Egad, the women are very down on her. I've been dining with Arabella this evening. By Jove, you should have heard what she said about Mrs. Erlynne. She didn't leave a rag on her. Beric and I told her that didn't matter much, as the lady in question must have an extremely fine figure. You should have seen Arabella's expression. But look here, dear boy, I don't know what to do about Mrs. Erlynne. Egad, I might be married to her. She treats me with such damned indifference. She's deuced clever, too. She explains everything. Egad, she explains you. She's got any amount of explanations for you, and all of them different.
No explanations are necessary about my friendship with Mrs. Erlynne.
Now, look here, dear old fellow. Do you think she will ever get into this damned thing called society? Would you introduce her to your wife? No use beating about the confounded bush. Would you do that?
Mrs. Erlynne is coming here tonight.
Your wife has sent her a card?
Mrs. Erlynne has received a card.
Then she's all right, dear boy. But why didn't you tell me that before? It would have saved me a heap of worry and damned misunderstandings.
Mr. Cecil Graham.
Good evening, Arthur. Why don't you ask me how I am? I like people to ask me how I am. It shows a widespread interest in my health. Now, tonight, I am not at all well.
Excuse me.
Been dining with my people. Wonder why it is one's people are always so tedious. My father would talk morality after dinner. I told him he was old enough to know better. That my experience is that as soon as people are old enough to know better, they don't know anything at all. Well, hello, Tuppy. Here you're going to be married again. Thought you were tired of that game.
You're excessively trivial, my dear boy. Excessively trivial.
By the way, Toppy, which is it? Have you been twice married and once divorced, or twice divorced and once married? I say you've been twice divorced and once married. It seems so much more probable.
I have a very bad memory, Cecil. I really don't remember which.
Lord Windermere, I have something most particular to ask you.
I'm afraid, if you will excuse me, Lady Plimdale, I must join my wife.
Oh, you mustn't dream of such a thing. It's most dangerous nowadays for a husband to pay any attention to his wife in public. It always makes people think that he beats her when they're alone. The world has grown so suspicious of anything that looks like a happy married life. But I'll tell you what it is at supper.
Margaret, I must speak to you.
Will you hold my fan for me, Lord Darlington?
Of course.
Thanks. Arthur?
Margaret, what you said before dinner was, of course, impossible.
That woman is not coming here tonight.
Mrs. Erlynn is coming here tonight, and if you in any way annoy or wound her, you will bring shame and sorrow on us both. Remember that. Oh, Margaret, only trust me. A wife should trust her husband.
London is full of women who trust their husbands. One can always recognise them. They look so thoroughly unhappy. I am not going to be one of them.
I will tell her. I must. It would be terrible if there were any scene.
Lord Darlington, will you give me back my fan, please?
Lady Windermere, of course.
Thanks. A useful thing, a fan, isn't it? I want a friend tonight, Lord Darlington. I didn't know I would want one so soon.
I knew the time would come someday. But why tonight?
Mrs. Erlynn.
Good evening. Good evening, Lady Windermere.
You've dropped your fan, Lady Windermere. Here.
Thank you.
How do you do again, Lord Windermere? How charming your sweet wife looks. Quite a picture.
It was terribly rash of you to come.
The wisest thing I ever did in my life. And by the way, you must pay me a good deal of attention this evening. I am afraid of the women. You must introduce me to some of them. The men I can always manage. How do you do, Lord Augustus? Oh, you have quite neglected me lately. I have not seen you since yesterday. I am afraid you're faithless. Oh. Everyone told me so.
No, really, Mrs. Erlynn. Allow me to explain.
Oh, dear Lord Augustus, you can't explain anything. It is your chief charm.
Oh. Oh, if you find charms in me, Mrs. Erlynn, you make me...
How pale you are.
Cowards are always pale.
You look faint. Come out on the terrace.
Yes. Parker, send my cloak out.
Certainly, milady.
Lady Windermere, how beautifully your terrace is illuminated. Reminds me of Prince Doria's at Rome.
Oh, really?
Thank you, Lord Darlington. Oh, Mr. Graham, how do you do? Isn't that your aunt, Lady Jedburgh? I should so much like to know her.
Certainly, if you wish it. Aunt Caroline, allow me to introduce Mrs. Erlynn.
So pleased to meet you, Lady Jedburgh. Well, do let me sit with you. Your nephew and I are great friends. I am so much interested in his political career. I think he's sure to be a wonderful success. He thinks like a Tory and talks like a radical, and that's so important nowadays. He's such a brilliant talker too, but we all know from whom he inherits that. Lord Allendale was saying to me only yesterday in the park that Mr. Graham talks almost as well as his aunt.
Oh, most kind of you to say these charming things to me.
Oh, my dear Lady Jedburgh.
Cecil, did you introduce Mrs. Erlynn to Lady Jedburgh?
Had to, my dear dummy. Couldn't help it. That woman can make one do anything she wants. How, I don't know.
Hope to goodness she won't speak to me. Oh, Lady Plimdale, a word?
A word? Of course.
On Thursday, Lady Jedburgh. Thursday. With great pleasure. Oh, there you are, Arthur. What a bore it is to have to be civil to these old dowagers, but they always insist on it.
Mr. Dummy, come here. Who is that well-dressed woman talking to Windermere?
Haven't got the slightest idea. Looks like an edition de luxe of a wicked French novel meant specially for the English market.
So that is poor Dummy with Lady Plimdale. I hear she is frightfully jealous of him. He
He doesn't seem anxious to speak to me tonight. I suppose he is afraid of her. Those straw-colored women have dreadful tempers. Do you know, I think I'll dance with you first, Windermere.
Well...
It will make Lord Augustus so jealous. Lord Augustus!
Dear lady!
Lord Windermere insists on my dancing with him first. And as it's his own house, I can't well refuse. You know I would much sooner dance with you.
I wish I could think so, Mrs. Early.
You know it far too well. I can fancy a person dancing through life with you and finding it charming.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. You are the most adorable of all ladies.
Oh, what a nice speech. So simple and so sincere. Just the sort of speech I like. Well, you shall hold my bouquet.
Oh. Oh, yes.
Come along, Lord Windermere. Ah, Mr. Dummy, how are you?
Oh.
I am so sorry I have been out the last 3 times you have
called. Oh.
Come and lunch on Friday.
Delighted. Delighted.
Dummy, what an absolute brute you are. I never can believe a word you say. Why did you tell me you didn't know her? What do you mean by calling on her 3 times running? You are not to go to lunch there. Of course you understand that.
My dear Laura, I wouldn't dream of going.
You haven't told me her name yet. Who is she?
She's, Mrs. Erlin.
That woman?
Yes, that's what everyone calls her.
How very interesting. How intensely interesting. I have heard the most shocking things about her. They say she is ruining poor Windermere. And Lady Windermere, who goes in for being so proper, invites her. How extremely amusing. It takes a thoroughly good woman to do a thoroughly stupid thing. You are to lunch there on Friday.
What? Why?
Because I want you to take my husband with you. He has been so attentive lately that he has become a perfect nuisance. Now, this woman is just the thing for him. He'll dance attendance upon her as long as she lets him, and won't bother me. I assure you, women of that kind are most useful. They form the basis of other people's marriages.
What a mystery you are, Laura Plimdale.
I wish you were.
I am, to myself. I am the only person in the world I should like to know thoroughly. But I don't see any chance of it just at present. Come into the ballroom.
Yes, I really must have a good stare at her.
Her coming here is monstrous. Unbearable. I know now what you meant today at tea time. Why didn't you tell me right out? You should have.
I couldn't. A man can't tell these things about another man. But if I'd known he was going to make you ask her here tonight, I think I would have told you. That insult, at any rate, you would have been spared.
I did not ask her. He insisted on her coming, against my entreaties, against my commands. Oh, the house is tainted for me. I feel that every woman here sneers at me as she dances by with my husband. What have I done to deserve this? I gave him all my life. He took it, used it, spoiled it. I am degraded in my own eyes, and I lack courage. I'm a coward.
If I know you at all, I know that you can't live with a man who treats you like this. What sort of life would you have with him? You would feel that he was lying to you every moment of the day. You would feel that the look in his eyes was false, his voice false, his touch false, his passion false. He would come to you when he was weary of others. You would have to comfort him. He would come to you when he was devoted to others. You would have to charm him. You would have to be to him the mask of his real life, the cloak to hide his secret.
You are right. You are terribly right. But where am I to turn? You said you would be my friend, Lord Darlington. Tell me, what am I to do? Be my friend now.
Between men and women, there is no friendship possible. There is passion, enmity, worship, love, but no friendship. I love you.
No. No.
Yes. I love you. You are more to me than anything in the whole world. What does your husband give you? Nothing. Whatever is in him, he gives to this wretched woman, whom he has thrust into your society, into your home, to shame you before everyone. I offer you my life.
Oh, Darlington.
My life. My whole life.
take it and do with it what you will. I love you. Love you as I have never loved any living thing. From the moment I met you, I loved you. Loved you blindly, adoringly, madly. You did not know it then. You know it now. Leave this house tonight. I won't tell you that the world matters nothing, or the world's voice, or the voice of society. They matter a great deal. They matter far too much. But there are moments when one has to choose between living one's own life fully, entirely, completely, or dragging out some false, shallow, degrading existence that the world in its hypocrisy demands. You have that moment now. Choose. Oh, my love, choose.
I have not the courage.
Yes, you have the courage. There may be 6 months of pain, of disgrace even, but when you no longer bear his name, when you bear mine, all will be well. Margaret, my love, my wife that shall be someday. Yes, my wife, you know it. What are you now? This woman has the place that belongs by right to you. Oh, go, go out of this house with head erect, with a smile upon your lips, with courage in your eyes. All London will know why you did it, and who will blame you? No one. If they do, what matter? Wrong. What is wrong? It's wrong for a man to abandon his wife for a shameless woman. It's wrong for a wife to remain with a man who so dishonors her. You said once you would make no compromise with things. Make none now. Be brave. Be yourself.
Oh, I am afraid of being myself. Let me think. Let me wait. My husband may return to me.
And you would take him back? You're not what I thought you were. You're just the same as every other woman. You would stand anything rather than face the censure of a world whose praise you would despise. In a week, you'll be driving with this woman in the park. She'll be your constant guest, your dearest friend. You would endure anything rather than break with one blow this monstrous tie. You're right. You have no courage, none.
Give me time to think. I cannot answer you now.
It must be now or not at all.
Then not at all.
You break my heart.
Mine is already broken.
Tomorrow I leave England. This is the last time I shall ever look on you. You'll never see me again. For one moment, our lives met, our souls touched. They must never meet or touch again. Goodbye, Margaret.
Dear Margaret, there you are.
Oh,
I've just been having such a delightful chat with Mrs. Erlynne. I'm so sorry for what I said to you this afternoon about her. Of course, she must be all right if you invite her. A most attractive woman and has such sensible views on life. Told me she entirely disapproved of people marrying more than once, so I feel quite safe about poor Augustus. Can't imagine why people speak against her. It's those horrid nieces of mine, the Saville girls. They're always talking scandal. Still, I should go to Homburg, dear. I really should. She's just a little too attractive. But where is Agatha? Oh, there she is.
Excuse me.
Mr. Hopper, I am very, very angry with you. You have taken Agatha out on the terrace and she's so delicate.
Awfully sorry, Duchess. We went out for a moment and then got chatting together.
Ah, about dear Australia, I suppose.
Yes, that's right.
Agatha, darling.
Yes, Mama?
Come here. Agatha?
Yes, Mama. One moment, Mr. Hopper.
Right.
Did Mr. Hopper definitely?
Yes, Mama.
And what answer did you give him, dear child?
Yes, Mama.
My dear one, you always say the right thing. Mr. Hopper?
Right here, Duchess.
James. Agatha has told me everything. How cleverly you've both kept your secret.
You don't mind my taking Agatha off to Australia, then?
To Australia? Oh, Don't mention that dreadful vulgar place.
But she said she'd like to come with me.
Did you say that, Agatha?
Yes, Mama.
Agatha, you say the most silly things possible. I think, on the whole, that Grosvenor Square would be a more healthy place to reside in. There are lots of vulgar people live in Grosvenor Square, but at any rate there are no horrid kangaroos crawling about. But we'll talk about that tomorrow. James, you can take Agatha down. You'll come to lunch, of course, James, at 1:30 instead of 2. The Duke will wish to say a few words to you, I'm sure.
I should like to have a chat with the Duke, Duchess. He hasn't said a single word to me yet.
I think you will find he will have a great deal to say to you tomorrow.
Oh, yes, he will.
And now, good night, Margaret.
Yes, good night.
I'm afraid it's the old, old story, dear. Love. Well, not love at first sight, but love at the end of the season, which is so much more satisfactory. Good night. Good night.
Yes, good night, Duchess.
My dear Margaret, what a handsome woman your husband has been dancing with. I should be quite jealous if I were you. Is she a great friend of yours?
No.
Really? Oh. Good night, dear.
Awful manners young Hopper has.
Ah, Hopper is one of nature's gentlemen. The worst type of gentleman I know.
Sensible woman, Lady Windermere. Lots of wives would have objected to Mrs. Erlynne coming. But Lady Windermere has that uncommon thing called common sense.
And Windermere knows that nothing looks so like innocence as an indiscretion.
Yes. Dear Windermere is becoming almost modern. Never thought he would. Night, Cecil.
Night.
Good night, Lady Windermere. What a fascinating woman Mrs. Erlynne is. She's coming to lunch on Thursday. Won't you come too? I expect the Bishop and dear Lady Merton.
I'm afraid I'm engaged, Lady Jedburgh.
Oh, so sorry. Oh, Cecil, you may take me down.
Of course, dear aunt, of course.
Thank you, dear boy.
Charming ball it has been, Arthur. Quite reminds me of old days. Let's sit. And I see that there are just as many faults in society as there used to be. So pleased to find that nothing has altered. Except Margaret. She's grown quite pretty. The last time I saw her, 20 years ago, she was a fright in flannel. Positive fright, I assure you. The dear Duchess. And that sweet Lady Agatha. Just the type of girl I like. Well, really, Windermere, if I am to be the Duchess's sister-in-law...
But are you?
Oh, yes. He's to call tomorrow at 12:00. He wanted to propose tonight. In fact, he did. He kept on proposing. Poor Augustus. You know how he repeats himself. Such a bad habit. Hmm. But I told him I wouldn't give him an answer till tomorrow. Of course, I am going to take him. And I dare say I'll make him an admirable wife, as wives go. And there is a great deal of good in Lord Augustus. Fortunately, it is all on the surface. Just where good qualities should be. Of course, you must help me in this matter.
I'm not called on to encourage Lord Augustus, I suppose.
Oh, no, I do the encouraging. But you will make me a handsome settlement, Windermere, won't you?
Is that what you want to talk to me about tonight?
Yes.
I will not talk of it here.
Well, then we will talk of it on the terrace. Give me your arm. Even business should have a picturesque background. Should it not, Windermere? With a proper background, women can do anything.
Won't tomorrow do as well?
No. You see, tomorrow I am going to accept him. And I think it would be a good thing if I was able to tell him that I had, well, what should I say? £2,000 a year left to me by a third cousin or a second husband or some distant relative of that kind. Oh. It would be an additional attraction, wouldn't it? You have a delightful opportunity now of paying me a compliment, Windermere. But you're not very clever at paying compliments. I'm afraid Margaret doesn't encourage you in that excellent habit. It's a great mistake on her part. When men give up saying what is charming, they give up thinking what is charming. Mm-hmm. But seriously, what do you say to 2,000? 2,500, I think. in modern life, margin is everything. Windermere, don't you think the world an intensely amusing place? I do.
To stay in this house any longer is impossible. Tonight, a man who loves me offered me his whole life. I refused it. It was foolish of me. I will offer him mine now. I will give him mine. I will go to him. Wait. Arthur has never understood me. When he reads this, he will. He may do as he chooses now with his life. There. I have done with mine as I think best, as I think right. It is he who has broken the bond of marriage, not I. I only break its bondage.
Is Lady Windermere in the ballroom?
Her ladyship has just gone out.
Gone out? She's not on the terrace?
No, madam. Her ladyship has just gone out of the house.
What? Out of the house?
Yes, madam. Her ladyship told me she'd left a letter for his lordship on the desk.
A letter for Lord Windermere?
Yes, madam.
Thank you.
Thank you. Madam?
Gone out of her house. A letter addressed to her husband. Let me see. No, no, it would be impossible. Life doesn't repeat its tragedies like that. Oh, why does this horrible fancy come across me? Why do I remember now the one moment of my life I most wish to forget? Does life repeat its tragedies? Oh, how terrible. The same words that 20 years ago I wrote to her father. And how bitterly I have been punished for it. No, my punishment, my real punishment, is tonight, is now.
Oh, have you said goodnight to my wife?
Yes.
Where is she?
She is very tired. She's gone to bed. She said she had a headache.
I must go to her. You'll excuse me.
Oh, no, it's nothing serious. She's only very tired, that is all. Besides, there are people still in the supper room. She wants you to make her apologies to them. She said she didn't wish to be disturbed.
Oh.
She asked me to tell you.
So you... You've dropped something?
Oh, yes, thank you. That is mine.
Hmm. But it's my wife's handwriting, isn't it?
Yes, it's an address. Thank you. Will you ask them to call my carriage, please?
Certainly.
Thanks.
What can I do? What can I do? I feel a passion awakening within me that I never felt before. What can it mean? The daughter must not be like the mother. That would be terrible. How can I save her? How can I save my child? A moment may ruin a life. Who knows that better than I? Windermere must be got out of the house. That is absolutely necessary. But how shall I do it? It must be done somehow.
Dear lady, I am in such suspense.
Ah.
May I not have an answer to my request?
Lord Augustus, listen to me. You are to take Lord Windermere down to your club at once and keep him there as long as possible. You understand?
But you said you wish me to keep early hours.
Do what I tell you. Do what I tell you.
And my reward?
Your reward? Your reward? Oh, ask me that tomorrow. But don't let Windermere out of your sight tonight. If you do, I will never forgive you. I will never speak to you again. I'll have nothing to do with you. Remember, you are to keep Windermere at your club. And don't let him come back tonight.
Well, really, I might be her husband already. Positively, I might. Oh, well.
Why doesn't he come? This waiting is horrible. He should be here. Why isn't he here to wake by passionate words some fire within me? I'm cold. Cold as a loveless thing. Arthur must have read my letter by this time. If he cared for me, he would have come after me, would have taken me back by force, but he doesn't care. He's entrammeled by this woman, fascinated by her, dominated by her.
If a woman wants to hold a man, she has merely to appeal to what is worst in him. We make gods of men and they leave us. Others make brutes of them and they fawn and are faithful. How hideous life is. Oh, it was mad of me to come here, horribly mad. And yet, which is the worst, I wonder? To be at the mercy of a man who loves one, or the wife of a man who in one's own house dishonours one? What woman knows? What woman in the whole world? But will he love me always? This man to whom I am giving my life? What do I bring him? Lips that have lost the note of joy, eyes that are blinded by tears, chill hands and icy heart. I bring him nothing. I must go back. No, I can't go back. My letter has put me in their power. Arthur would not take me back. That fatal letter. No. Lord Darlington leaves England tomorrow. I will go with him. I have no choice. No. No, I will go back. Let Arthur do with me what he pleases. I can't wait here. It has been madness, my coming. I must go at once. As for Lord Darlington... He is... What shall I do? What can I say to him? Will he let me go away at all? I have heard that men are brutal, horrible. Oh!
Lady Windermere.
What? You!
Thank heaven I'm in time. You must go back to your husband's house immediately.
Must!
Yes, you must. There's not a second to be lost. Lord Darlington may return at any moment.
Don't come near me.
Oh, you are on the brink of ruin. You're on the brink of a hideous precipice. You must leave this place at once. My carriage is waiting at the corner of the street. You must come with me and drive straight home.
No.
What are you doing?
Mrs. Erlynne, if you had not come here, I would have gone back. But now that I see you, I feel that nothing in the whole world could induce me to live under the same roof as Lord Windermere. You fill me with horror. There is something about you that stirs the wildest rage within me. And I know why you are here. My husband sent you to lure me back that I might serve as a blind to whatever relations exist between you and him.
Oh, you don't think that. You can't.
You go back to my husband, Mrs. Erlynne. He belongs to you and not me. I suppose he is afraid of a scandal. Men are such cowards. They outrage every law of the world and are afraid of the world's tongue. But he had better prepare himself. He shall have a scandal. He shall have the worst scandal there has been in London for years. He shall see his name in every vile paper, mine on every hideous placard.
No,
yes,
no.
Yes, he shall. Had he come himself, I admit, I would have gone back to the life of degradation you and he had prepared for me. I was going back. But to stay himself at home and to send you as his messenger, it was infamous. Infamous.
Lady Windermere, you wrong me horribly. You wrong your husband horribly. He doesn't know you are here. He thinks you are safe in your own house. He thinks you are asleep in your own room. He never read the mad letter you wrote to him.
Never read it?
No, he knows nothing about it.
How simple you think me. You are lying to me.
I am not. I am telling you the truth.
If my husband didn't read my letter, how is it that you are here? Who told you that I had left the house that you were shameless enough to enter? Who told you where I had gone to? My husband told you and sent you to decoy me back.
Your husband has never seen the letter. I saw it. I opened it. I read it.
You opened a letter of mine to my husband. You wouldn't dare.
Dare? Oh, to save you from the abyss into which you are falling. There is nothing in the world I would not dare. Nothing in the whole world. Here is the letter. Your husband has never read it. He never shall read it. Look. It goes into the fire. It should never have been written.
How do I know that was my letter after all? You seem to think the commonest device can take me in.
Why do you disbelieve everything I tell you? What object do you think I have in coming here, except to save you from utter ruin, to save you from the consequence of a hideous mistake? That letter that is burnt now was your letter. I swear it to you.
You took good care to burn it before I had examined it. I cannot trust you. You, whose whole life is a lie. Could you speak the truth about anything?
Oh, think as you like about me. Say what you choose against me. But go back. Go back to the husband that you love.
I do not love him.
You do, and you know that he loves you.
He doesn't understand what love is. He understands it as little as you do. I see what you want. It would be a great advantage for you to get me back. Dear heaven,
What a life I would have then, living at the mercy of a woman who has neither mercy nor pity in her. A woman whom it is an infamy to meet, a degradation to know, a vile woman. A woman who comes between husband and wife.
Lady Windermere, don't say such terrible things. You don't know how terrible they are, how terrible and how unjust. Listen, you must listen. Only go back to your husband, and I promise you never to communicate with him on any pretext, never to see him, never to have anything to do with his life or yours. The money that he gave me not through love, but through hatred, not in worship, but in contempt. The hold I have over him.
You admit you have a hold.
Yes, and I will tell you what it is. It is his love for you, Lady Windermere.
You expect me to believe that?
You must believe it. It is true. It is his love for you that has made him submit to, call it what you like, tyranny, threats, anything you choose. But it is his love for you, his desire to spare you shame. Yes, shame and disgrace.
What do you mean? You are insolent. What have I to do with you?
Nothing. I know it. But I tell you that your husband loves you, that you may never meet with such love again in your whole life, that such love you will never meet. And if you throw it away, the day may come when you will starve for love and it will not be given to you. Beg for love and it will be denied you. Arthur loves you.
Arthur. And you tell me there is nothing between you.
Lady Windermere, before heaven, your husband is guiltless of all offence towards you. And I tell you that had it ever occurred to me that such a monstrous suspicion would have entered your mind, I would have died rather than to have crossed your life or his. Oh, died, gladly died.
You talk as if you had a heart. Women like you have no hearts. Heart is not in you. You are bought and sold.
Believe what you choose about me. I am not worth a moment's sorrow, but don't spoil your beautiful young life on my account. You don't know what may be in store for you unless you leave this house at once. You don't know what it is to fall into the pit, to be despised, mocked, abandoned, sneered at, to be an outcast, to find the door shut against one, to have to creep in by hideous byways, afraid every moment lest the mask should be stripped from one's face, and all the while to hear the laughter, the horrible laughter of the world, a thing more tragic than all the tears the world has ever shed. You don't know what it is. One pays for one's sin, and then one pays again, and all one's life one pays. You must never know that. As for me, if suffering be an expiation, then at this moment I have expiated all my faults, whatever they have been. For tonight you have made a heart in one who had it not, made it and broken it. But let that pass. I may have wrecked my own life, but I will not let you wreck yours. You, why, you're a mere girl. You would be lost. You haven't got the kind of brains that enables a woman to get back. You have neither the wit nor the courage. You couldn't stand dishonour. No, go back, Lady Windermere, to the husband who loves you, whom you love. You have a child, Lady Windermere. Go back to that child who, even now, in pain or in joy, may be calling to you. God gave you that child. He will require from you that you make his life fine, that you watch over him. What answer will you make to God if his life is ruined through you? Back to your house, Lady Windermere. Your husband loves you. He has never swerved for a moment from the love he bears you. But even if he had 1,000 loves, you must stay with your child. If he was harsh to you, you must stay with your child. If he ill-treated you, you must stay with your child. If he abandoned you, your place is with your child.
Oh, God, help me.
Lady Windermere.
Take me home. Take me home.
Oh, my dear. Come, where is your cloak? Here, put it on. Come at once.
Yes. Stop. Don't you hear voices?
No, no, there was no one.
Yes, there is. Listen. That is my husband's voice. He's coming in. Save me. Oh, no. Oh, it's some plot.
You have sent for him.
Silence. I'm here to save you if I can. I fear it is too late. There. Hide yourself behind the curtain. The first chance you have, slip out if ever you get a chance.
But you?
Oh, never mind me. I'll face them. Go on. I'll...
Lord Augustus. Then it is I who am lost. I'll go through here for now.
What a nuisance! They're turning us out of the club at this hour.
Yes.
It's only 2 o'clock. The lively part of the evening is only just beginning.
It is very good of you, Lord Darlington, allowing Augustus to force our company on you, but I'm afraid I can't stay long.
Really? I'm so sorry, Windermere. You'll take a cigar, won't you?
Oh, and... very well.
My dear boy, you must not dream of going. I have a great deal to talk to you about. Of damned importance, too.
Oh, we all know what that is. Toppy can't talk about anything but Mrs. Erlynne. Oh.
Well, that is no business of yours, is it, Cecil?
None. That is why it interests me. My own business always bores me to death. I prefer other people's.
Have something to drink, you fellows. Cecil, you'll have a whiskey and soda?
Oh, thanks.
Where's the soda?
Mrs. Erlynne looked very handsome tonight, didn't she?
I am not one of her admirers.
I usedn't to be, but I am now. Why, she actually made me introduce her to poor dear Aunt Caroline. I believe she's going to lunch there.
No.
She is, really?
Excuse me, you fellows. I'm going away tomorrow.
Huh?
I have to write a few letters.
Clever woman, Mrs. Erlynne.
Oh, hello, Dummy. I thought you were asleep.
I am. I usually am.
Yeah, very clever woman. Knows perfectly well what a damned fool I am. Knows it as well as I do myself. Yeah, you may laugh, my boy, but it is a great thing to come across a woman who thoroughly understands one.
It is an awfully dangerous thing. They always end by marrying one.
But I thought, Toppy, you were never going to see her again. Yes, you told me so yesterday evening at the club. You said you'd heard, well, you know, the scandal in New York.
Oh, she's explained that.
And the Wiesbaden affair.
She's explained that too.
And her income, Tuppy. Has she explained that?
She's going to explain that tomorrow.
Awfully commercial women nowadays. Our grandmothers threw their caps over the mills, of course. But by Jove, their granddaughters only throw their caps over mills that can raise the wind for them.
You want to make her out a wicked woman. She's not.
Oh, wicked women bother one, good women bore one. That is the only difference between them.
Well, Mrs. Erlynne has a future before her.
Mrs. Erlynne has a past before her.
I prefer women with a past. They're always so damned amusing to talk to.
Well, you'll have lots of topics of conversation with her, Toppy.
You're getting annoying, dear boy. You're getting damned annoying. Mm.
Now, Toppy, you've lost your figure and you've lost your character. Don't lose your temper. You've only got one.
My dear boy, if I wasn't the most good-natured man in London...
We'd treat you with more respect, wouldn't we, Toppy?
The youth of the present day are quite monstrous. They have absolutely no respect for dyed hair.
What? How dare you?
Mrs. Erlynne has a very great respect for dear Toppy.
Well, then Mrs. Erlynne sets an admirable example to the rest of her sex. It is perfectly brutal the way most women nowadays behave to men who are not their husbands.
Tommy, you are ridiculous. And Cecil, you let your tongue run away with you. Oh. You must leave Mrs. Erlynne alone. You don't really know anything about her, and you're always talking scandal against her.
My dear Arthur, I never talk scandal. I only talk gossip.
What's the difference?
Oh, gossip is charming. History is merely gossip. But scandal is gossip made tedious by morality. Mm. Now, I never moralize. A man who moralizes is usually a hypocrite. And a woman who moralizes is invariably plain. There is nothing in the whole world so unbecoming to a woman as a nonconformist conscience. And most women know it, I'm glad to say.
Just my sentiments, dear boy, just my sentiments.
Oh, sorry to hear it, Toppy. Whenever people agree with me, I always feel I must be wrong.
My dear boy, when I was your age...
But you never were, Toppy, and you never will be. I say, Darlington, let us have some cards. You'll play Arthur, won't you?
No, thanks, Cecil.
Oh, good heavens. How marriage ruins a man. It's as demoralising as cigarettes, and far more expensive.
You'll play, of course, Toppy.
Oh, can't, dear boy. Promise Mrs. Erlynne never to play or drink again.
Now, my dear Toppy, don't be led astray into the paths of virtue. Reformed, you would be perfectly tedious. That is the worst of women. They always want one to be good. And if we are good, when they meet us, they don't love us at all. They like to find us quite irretrievably bad and to leave us quite unattractively good.
They always do find us bad.
No, I don't think we're bad. I think we are all good, except Tuppy.
No, we are all in the gutter, but some of us are looking at the stars.
We are all in the gutter, but some of us are looking at the stars? Upon my word, you are very romantic tonight, Darlington.
Too romantic. You must be in love. Who is the girl?
The woman I love is not free, or thinks she isn't.
A married woman, then? Well, there is nothing in the world like the devotion of a married woman. It's a thing no married man knows anything about.
Oh, she doesn't love me. She is a good woman. She is the only good woman I have ever met in my life.
The only good woman you have ever met in your life?
Yes.
Well, you are a lucky fellow. Why, I have met hundreds of good women. I never seem to meet any but good women. The world is perfectly packed with good women. To know them is a middle-class education.
This woman has purity and innocence. She has everything we men have lost.
Oh, my dear fellow, what on earth should we men do going about with purity and innocence? A carefully thought-out buttonhole is much more effective.
She doesn't really love you, then?
No, she does not.
I congratulate you, my dear fellow. In this world, there are only two tragedies. One is not getting what one wants, and the other is getting it. The last is much the worst. The last is a real tragedy. But I am interested to hear that she does not love you. How long could you love a woman who didn't love you, Cecil?
A woman who didn't love me? Oh, all my life.
So could I. But it's so difficult to meet one.
How can you be so conceited, dummy?
No, I didn't say it as a matter of conceit. I said it as a matter of regret. I have been wildly, madly adored. I'm sorry I have. It has been an immense nuisance. I should like to be allowed a little time to myself now and then.
Time to educate yourself, I suppose.
No, time to forget all I've learned. That is much more important, dear Tuppy.
What cynics you fellows are.
What is a cynic?
A man who knows the price of everything and the value of nothing.
Oh, dear.
And a sentimentalist, my dear Darlington, is a man who sees an absurd value in everything and doesn't know the market price of any single thing.
You always amuse me, Cecil. You talk as if you were a man of experience.
I am.
You are far too young.
That is a great error. Experience is a question of instinct about life. I have got it. Toppy hasn't. Mm. Experience is the name Toppy gives to his mistakes. That is all.
Hey.
Experience is the name everyone gives to their mistakes.
One shouldn't commit any. I say.
Well, life would be very dull without them.
Of course, you are quite faithful to this woman you are in love with, Darlington, to this good woman.
Cecil, if one really loves a woman, all other women in the world become absolutely meaningless to one. Love changes one. I am changed.
Dear me, how very interesting. Tuppy, I want to talk to you.
It's no use talking to Tuppy. You might just as well talk to a brick wall.
Oh, but I like talking to a brick wall. It's the only thing in the world that never contradicts me. I say, Tuppy.
Well, what is it?
Come over here. I want you particularly.
What is it?
Darlington has been moralizing and talking about the purity of love and that sort of thing. And he's got some woman in his rooms all this time.
No, really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes, there is her fan on the table.
By Jove. By Jove.
I'm really off now. Lord Darlington, I'm sorry you are leaving England so soon. Pray, call on us when you come back. My wife and I will be charmed to see you.
I'm afraid I shall be away for many years. Oh. Good night.
Arthur.
What?
I want to speak to you for a moment. No, wait.
I can't. I'm off.
It's something very particular. It will interest you enormously.
It is some of your baloney, Cecil.
It isn't. It isn't really.
My dear fellow, you mustn't go yet. I've got a lot to talk to you about. And Cecil has something to show you.
Well, what is it?
Darlington has got a woman here in his rooms. Here is her fan. Look. They're amusing, isn't it?
Good God.
What? What's the matter?
Lord Darlington.
Yes?
What is my wife's fan doing here in your rooms?
Windermere...
Hands off, Cecil. Don't touch me.
Your wife's fan?
Yes. Here it is.
I don't know.
You must know. I demand an explanation. Don't hold me, you fool, Cecil.
But I
speak,
I,
sir.
I really...
Speak. Why is my wife's fan here? Answer me. By God, I'll search these rooms. If my wife's here, I'll...
No, you shall not search my rooms. You have no right to do so. I forbid you.
You scoundrel! I'll not leave till I've searched every corner. What's behind the curtain?
Lord Windermere! Lord Windermere!
What?
You open the door! Open the door! Mrs. Erlynne! It's that good
Mrs. Erlynne!
My chance! Escape now!
Lord Windermere, I am afraid I took your wife's fan in mistake for my own when I was leaving your house tonight. I will return it to her tomorrow. May I take it? Thank you. I am so sorry.
You worthless, vicious.
Oh, no. No.
How can I tell him? I can't tell him, it would kill me. I wonder what happened after I escaped from that horrible room. Perhaps she told them the true reason of her being there and the real meaning of that fatal fan of mine. Oh, if he knows, how can I look him in the face again? He would never forgive me. How securely one thinks one lives, out of reach of temptation, sin, folly, and then suddenly, oh, life is terrible. It rules us, we do not rule it.
Begging your pardon, your ladyship. Did you ring for me?
Yes, Rosalie. Have you found out at what time Lord Windermere came in last night?
His lordship did not come in till 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock? He knocked at my door this morning, didn't he?
Yes, my lady, at 9:30. I told him your ladyship was not awake yet.
Did he say anything?
Something about your ladyship's fan. I didn't quite catch what his lordship said. Has the fan been lost, my lady? I can't find it, and Mr. Parker says it was not left in any of the rooms. I have looked in all of them, and on the terrace as well.
It doesn't matter. Don't trouble. That'll do.
Yes. Thank you, my lady.
She is sure to tell him. I can fancy a person doing a wonderful act of self-sacrifice, doing it spontaneously, recklessly, nobly, and afterwards finding out that it costs too much. Why should she hesitate between her ruin and mine? How strange! I would have publicly disgraced her in my own house. She accepts public disgrace in the house of another to save me. There is a bitter irony in things. A bitter irony in the way we talk of good and bad women. Oh, what a lesson. And what a pity that in life we only get our lessons when they are of no use to us. For even if she doesn't tell, I must. Oh, the shame of it. The shame of it. To tell it is to live through it all again. Actions are the first tragedy in life. Words are the second. Words are perhaps the worst. Words are merciless.
Oh.
Good morning, Margaret. How pale you look.
Oh, I slept very badly.
I'm so sorry. I came in dreadfully late and didn't like to wake you. You are crying, dear.
Yes. I am crying, for I have something to tell you, Arthur.
My dear child, you are not well. You've been doing too much. Let's go away to the country. You'll be all right at Selby. The season's almost over. There's no use staying on. Poor darling. We'll go away today, if you like. We can easily catch the 3:40. I'll send a wire.
Oh, yes, let's go away today. No. I can't go today, Arthur. There's someone I must see before I leave town. Someone who has been kind to me.
Kind to you?
Far more than that. I will tell you, Arthur, but only love me. Love me as you used to love me.
Used to? You're not thinking of that wretched woman who came here last night. You don't still imagine that... No, you couldn't.
I don't. I know now I was wrong. And foolish.
It's very good of you to receive her last night, but you are never to see her again.
Why do you say that?
Margaret, I thought Mrs. Erlynne was a woman more sinned against than sinning, as the phrase goes. I thought she wanted to be good, to get back into a place that she had lost by a moment's folly, to lead again a decent life. I believed what she told me. I was mistaken in her. She is bad as a woman can be.
Arthur, don't talk so bitterly about any woman.
I don't think now that people can be divided into the good and the bad as though they were two separate races or creations. What are called good women may have terrible things in them. Mad moods of recklessness, assertion, jealousy, sin. Bad women, as they are termed, may have in them sorrow, repentance, pity, sacrifice. And I don't think Mrs. Erlynne a bad woman. I know she's not.
My dear child, the woman's impossible. No matter what harm she tries to do us, you must never see her again. She is inadmissible anywhere.
But I want to see her. I want her to come here.
Never.
She came here once as your guest. She must come now as mine. That is only fair.
She should never have come here.
It's too late, Arthur, to say that now.
Margaret, if you knew where Mrs. Erlynne went last night after she left this house, you wouldn't sit in the same room with her. It was absolutely shameless, the whole thing.
Arthur, I can't bear it any longer. I must tell you. Last night, I... Yes, Parker?
Excuse me, m'lady. Mrs. Erlynne has called to return your ladyship's fan, which she took away by mistake last night. Mrs. Erlynne has written a message on this card.
Oh. Ask Mrs. Erlynne to be kind enough to come up. Say I shall be very glad to see her.
Certainly, m'lady.
She wants to see me, Arthur.
Let me see that. Margaret, I beg you not to. Let me see her first, at any rate. She's a very dangerous woman. She is the most dangerous woman I know. You don't realize what you're doing.
It is right that I should see her.
My child, you may be on the brink of a great sorrow. Don't go to meet it. It is absolutely necessary that I should see her before you do.
Why should it be necessary?
Well...
Mrs. Erlynne.
Good morning. How do you do, Lady Windermere? How do you do? Do you know, Lady Windermere, I am so sorry about your fan. I can't imagine how I made such a silly mistake. Most stupid of me. And as I was driving in your direction, I thought I would take the opportunity of returning your property in person. Here it is, with many apologies for my carelessness, and of bidding you goodbye.
Goodbye? Are you going away then, Mrs. Erlynne?
Yes. I am going to live abroad again. The English climate doesn't suit me. My heart is affected here, and that I don't like. I prefer living in the south. London is too full of fogs and serious people, Lord Windermere. Whether the fogs produce the serious people or whether the serious people produce the fogs, I don't know, but the whole thing rather gets on my nerves. And so I'm leaving this afternoon by the club train.
This afternoon? But I wanted so much to come and see you.
How kind of you. But I am afraid I have to go.
Shall I never see you again, Mrs. Erlynne?
I'm afraid not. Our lives lie too far apart. But there is a little thing I would like you to do for me. I want a photograph of you, Lady Windermere. Would you give me one? You don't know how gratified I should be.
Oh, with pleasure. There is one on the table out there. I'll fetch it for you.
It's monstrous you're intruding yourself here after your conduct last night.
My dear Windermere, manners before morals.
I'm afraid it is very flattering. I'm not so pretty as that.
You are much prettier. But haven't you got one of yourself with your little boy?
I have. Would you prefer one of those?
Yes.
I'll go and get it for you, if you'll excuse me for a moment. I have one upstairs.
So sorry, Lady Windermere, to give you so much trouble.
No trouble at all, Mrs. Erlynne.
Thanks so much. You seem rather out of temper this morning, Windermere. Why should you be? Margaret and I get on charmingly together.
I can't bear to see you with her. Besides, you have not told me the truth, Mrs. Erlynne.
I have not told her the truth, you mean?
I sometimes wish you had. I should have been spared then the misery, the anxiety, the annoyance of the last 6 months. But rather than my wife should know that the mother whom she was taught to consider as dead, the mother whom she has mourned as dead, is living, a divorced woman, going about under an assumed name, a bad woman, preying upon life, as I know you now to be, rather than that, I was ready to supply you with money to pay bill after bill, extravagance after extravagance, to risk what occurred yesterday, the first quarrel I have ever had with my wife. You don't understand what that means to me. How could you? But I tell you, that the only bitter words that ever came from those sweet lips of hers were on your account, and I hate to see you next to her. You sully the innocence that is in her. And I used to think that with all your faults, you were frank and honest. You are not.
Why do you say that?
You made me get you an invitation to my wife's ball.
For my daughter's ball, yes.
You came, and within an hour of your leaving the house, you are found in a man's rooms. You are disgraced before everyone.
Yes.
Therefore, I have a right to look upon you as what you are, a worthless, vicious woman. I have the right to tell you never to enter this house, never to attempt to come near my wife.
My daughter, you mean?
You have no right to claim her as your daughter. You left her. Abandoned her when she was but a child in the cradle. Abandoned her for your lover, who abandoned you in turn.
Do you count that to his credit, Lord Windermere, or to mine?
To his? Now that I know you?
Take care. You'd better be careful.
Oh, I am not going to mince words for you. I know you thoroughly.
I question that.
I do know you. For 20 years of your life, you lived without your child, without a thought of your child. One day you read in the papers that she had married a rich man. You saw your hideous chance. You knew that to spare her the ignominy of learning that a woman like you was her mother, I would endure anything. You began your blackmailing.
Don't use ugly words, Windermere. They are vulgar. I saw my chance, it is true, and took it.
Yes, you took it. And spoiled it all last night by being found out.
Yes, you are quite right. I spoiled it all last night.
And as for your blunder in taking my wife's fan from here and then leaving it about in Darlington's rooms, it's unpardonable. I can't bear the sight of it now. I shall never let my wife use it again. The thing is soiled for me. You should have kept it and not brought it back.
I think I shall keep it. It's extremely pretty. I shall ask Margaret to give it to me.
I hope my wife will give it to you.
Oh, I'm sure she will have no objection.
I wish that at the same time she would give you a miniature she kisses every night before she prays. It's the miniature of a young, innocent-looking girl with beautiful dark hair.
Ah, yes, I remember. How long ago that seems. It was done before I was married. Dark hair and an innocent expression were the fashion then, Windermere.
What do you mean by coming here this morning? What is your object?
To bid goodbye to my dear daughter, of course.
What?
Oh, don't imagine I am going to have a pathetic scene with her. Weep on her neck and tell her who I am and all that kind of thing. I have no ambition to play the part of a mother. Only once in my life have I known a mother's feelings. That was last night. They were terrible. They made me suffer. They made me suffer too much. For 20 years, as you say, I have lived childless. I want to live childless still. Besides, dear Windermere, how on earth could I pose as a mother with a grown-up daughter? Margaret is 21, and I have never admitted that I am more than 29 or 30 at the most. 29 when there are pink shades, 30 when there are not. So you see what difficulties it would involve. No. As far as I am concerned, let your wife cherish the memory of this dead, stainless mother. Why should I interfere with her illusions? I find it hard enough to keep my own. I lost one illusion last night. I thought I had no heart. I find I have. And a heart doesn't suit me, Windermere. Somehow it doesn't go with modern dress. It makes one look old. And it spoils one's career at critical moments.
You fill me with horror. With absolute horror.
I suppose, Windermere, you would like me to retire into a convent or become a hospital nurse or something of that kind, as people do in silly modern novels. That is stupid of you, Arthur. In real life, we don't do such things. Not as long as we have any good looks left, at any rate. No, what consoles one nowadays is not repentance, but pleasure. Repentance is quite out of date. And besides, if a woman really repents, she has to go to a bad dressmaker. Otherwise, no one believes in her, and nothing in the world would induce me to do that. No, I am going to pass entirely out of your two lives. My coming into them has been a mistake. I discovered that last night.
A fatal mistake?
Almost fatal.
I'm sorry now I did not tell my wife the whole thing at once.
I regret my bad actions. You regret your good ones. That is the difference between us.
I don't trust you. I will tell my wife. It's better for her to know and from me. It will cause her infinite pain. It will humiliate her terribly. But it's right that she should know.
You propose to tell her?
I am going to tell her.
If you do, I will make my name so infamous that it will mar every moment of her life. It will ruin her and make her wretched. If you dare to tell her, there is no depth of degradation I will not sink to, no pit of shame I will not enter. You shall not tell her. I forbid you.
Why?
If I said to you that I cared for her, perhaps loved her even, you would sneer at me, wouldn't you?
I should feel it was not true. A mother's love means devotion, unselfishness, sacrifice. What could you know of such things?
You are right. What could I know of such things? Don't let us talk any more about it. As for telling my daughter who I am, that I do not allow. It is my secret. It is not yours. If I make up my mind to tell her, and I think I shall tell her before I leave the house. If not, I shall never tell her.
Then let me beg of you to leave our house at once. I will make your excuses to Margaret.
I am so sorry, Mrs. Erlynne, to have kept you waiting. I couldn't find the photograph anywhere. At last I discovered it in my husband's dressing room. He had stolen it. Please take it.
I am not surprised. It is charming. And so that is your little boy. Mm. What is he called?
Gerard, after my dear father.
Really?
Yes. If it had been a girl, I would have called it after my mother. My mother had the same name as myself, Margaret.
My name is Margaret, too.
Indeed.
Yes. You are devoted to your mother's memory, Lady Windermere, your husband tells me.
We all have ideals in life. At least we all should have. Mine is my mother.
Oh, ideals are dangerous things. Realities are better. They wound, but they're better.
If I lost my ideals, I should lose everything.
Everything?
Yes.
Did your father often speak to you of your mother?
No. It gave him too much pain. He told me how my mother had died a few months after I was born. His eyes filled with tears as he spoke. Then he begged me never to mention her name to him again. It made him suffer even to hear it. My father really died of a broken heart. His was the most ruined life I know.
I am afraid I must go now, Lady Windermere.
Oh, no, don't.
I think I'd better. My carriage must have come back by this time. I sent it to Lady Jedburgh's with a note.
Arthur, would you mind seeing if Mrs. Erlynne's carriage has come back?
Pray don't trouble Lord Windermere.
Yes, Arthur, do go, please.
Very well. Very well.
Oh, what am I to say to you? You saved me last night.
Hush, hush, don't speak of it.
I must speak of it. I can't let you think I'm going to accept this sacrifice. I am not. It is too great. I'm going to tell my husband everything. It is my duty.
It is not your duty. At least you have duties to others besides him. You say you owe me something.
I owe you everything.
Then pay your debt by silence. That is the only way in which it can be paid. Don't spoil the one good thing I have done in my life by telling it to anyone. Promise me that what passed last night will remain a secret between us. You must not bring misery into your husband's life. Why spoil his love? You must not spoil it. Love is easily killed. Oh, how easily love is killed. Pledge me your word, Lady Windermere, that you will never tell him. I insist upon it.
It is your will, not mine.
Yes, it is my will. And never forget your child. I like to think of you as a mother. I like you to think of yourself as one.
I always will now. Only once in my life I have forgotten my own mother. That was last night. Oh, if I had remembered her, I should not have been so foolish, so wicked.
Hush! Last night is quite over.
Your carriage has not come back yet, Mrs. Erlynne.
Makes no matter. I'll take a hansom. There is nothing in the world so respectable as a good Shrewsbury and Talbot. And now, dear Lady Windermere, I am afraid it is really goodbye. Oh, I remember. You'll think me absurd, but Do you know I've taken a great fancy to this fan that I was silly enough to run away with last night from your ball? Now, I wonder, would you give it to me? Lord Windermere says you may. I know it is his present.
Certainly, if it will give you any pleasure. But it has my name on it. It has Margaret on it.
But we have the same Christian name.
Oh, I forgot. Of course, do have it. What a wonderful chance, our names being the same.
Quite wonderful. Thanks. It will always remind me of you. Give me your hand.
Yes.
Lord Augustus Lawton and Mrs. Erland's carriage has come.
Good morning, dear boy. Good morning, Lady Windermere.
Yes.
Oh, Mrs. Erland.
How do you do, Lord Augustus? Are you quite well this morning?
Quite well, thank you, Mrs. Erland.
You don't look at all well, Lord Augustus. You stop up too late. It is so bad for you. You really should take more care of yourself. Goodbye, Lord Windermere. Lord Augustus, won't you see me to my carriage? You might carry the fan.
Allow me.
No, I want Lord Augustus. I have a special message for his sister, the dear Duchess. Won't you carry the fan, Lord Augustus?
If you really desire it, Mrs. Erland.
Of course I do. There you are. You'll carry it so gracefully. Goodbye, Lady Windermere.
Goodbye.
You would carry off anything gracefully, dear Lord Augustus.
You will never speak against Mrs. Erland again, Arthur, will you?
She is better than one thought her.
She's better than I am.
Child, you and she belong to different worlds. Into your world, evil has never entered.
Don't say that, Arthur. There is the same world for all of us. And good and evil, sin and innocence go through it hand in hand. To shut one's eyes to half of life that one may live securely is as though one blinded oneself that one might walk with more safety in a land of pit and precipice.
Darling. Why do you say that?
Because I, who had shut my eyes to life, came to the brink. And one who had separated
us... We were never separated.
We never must be again. Oh, Arthur, don't love me less. And I will trust you more. I will trust you absolutely. Let us go to Selby. In the rose garden at Selby, the roses are white and red.
Arthur! Arthur, she has explained everything.
What?
What?
What do you mean?
My dear fellow, she's explained every damned thing. Come over here. We all wronged her immensely. It was entirely for my sake that she went to Darlington's rooms. She called first at the club. In fact, she wanted to put me out of suspense. And being told I had gone on, followed. Naturally, frightened when she heard a lot of us coming in, retired to another room. Ah, I assure you, most gratifying to me, the whole thing. We all behave brutally to her. She's just the woman for me. Suits me down to the ground. All the conditions she makes are that we live entirely out of England. Very good thing, too. Damn clubs, damn climate, damn cooks, damn everything. Sick of it all.
Has Mrs. Erland...
Yes. Yes, Lady Windermere. Mrs. Erland has done me the honour of accepting my hand.
Well, you're certainly marrying a very clever woman.
Ah, you're marrying a very good woman.
In Lady Windermere's Fan by Oscar Wilde, Lady Windermere was played by Susanna Fielding, Lord Windermere by James Callis, and Mrs. Erland by Mira Sorvino. Lord Augustus Lawton, Ian Ogilvie. Lord Darlington, Jonathan Cake. The Duchess of Berwick, Rosalind Ayres. Mr. Dummy, Peter Woodward. Cecil Graham, Matthew Wolfe. Mr. Hopper, Darren Keefe. Parker, Darren Richardson. Lady Agatha Carlyle and Lady Stutfield, Elizabeth Nolden. Lady Plimdale and Rosalie, Adita Brichter. Lady Jedburgh, Jean Gilpin. Music composed by A. Mnemonic. Lady Windermere's Fan was directed by Martin Jarvis and is a Jarvis and Ayres production.
Thank you, Martin. And you can find more editions of Drama on 3 now on BBC Sounds.
With its teasing opening chords, Beethoven signalled his musical ambition from the very start of his first symphony. Now sadly neglected, his only oratorio, Christ on the Mount of Olives, is full of touching arias and rousing choruses. Two great works conducted by Vladimir Yurovsky and Sir Simon Rattle.
I wonder whether anybody made quite such a radical change so quickly in music as Beethoven.
Beethoven Unleashed on Radio 3 in concert on Thursday and Friday evenings at 7:30.
Lots more on Beethoven Unleashed as well on the Radio 3 website. Just go to bbc.co.uk/Radio 3. Well, now here's Fiona Talkington with tonight's Radio 3 in concert.
Hello. Tonight I've chosen recordings from concerts as far apart as South Korea, Switzerland and Massachusetts. A Beethoven cello sonata, thoughtful, reflective music by Osvaldo Golijov, and a very graceful Rachmaninoff piano concerto No. 3 later on. Let's begin in the Arts Centre in Seoul, home to the Korean Broadcasting Orchestra, the KBS Symphony Orchestra. The centre is a real arts hub with five main buildings, including concert halls, galleries and museums, and an opera house in the shape of a traditional hat. The orchestra has got a really loyal following, and conductor Yoel Levy made sure that they were going to get a really swashbuckling performance of Berlioz's Le Corsaire.